Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let To Be Talk. Today is Monday, July 31st. Rent will be due tomorrow. What the fuck? God damn it. Rent comes every fucking month for the rest of your life? That's what I say every morning on the 1st. I'm like, didn't I just pay rent? How fucking fast does time go by when bills are due? Yeah, anyway, that's the old cliche. When people say that to me, I'm like, hey, man, that's what it is. Fucking bills will always be due. Rent will be due. There's just no free ride. To stop talking about it and enjoy shit. Good to be back. Just got back from Toronto. If any of you guys came to the show, thank you so much. I love Toronto. Fantastic venue my boy Joe has up there. 2 year celebration of the corner. Small little venue, holds like 50 people. This place is rad to do comedy in it. If you're bombing, you're bombing right there in front of their faces. Just a tight 50 of people going, well, no. Or if you're killing, it's like you're in somebody's living room. Reminded me back in the days of just doing coke and drinking some beers and telling stories at people's parties, keg parties. It has that great vibe. And the people up there are very, very cool and big comedy fans. Also, we are doing shows in the underground. So we are bouncing back and forth. Me, Red Band, and Sam Tripoli. There for 8 shows. It was fantastic. We were there Wednesday through Saturday. And I always love it when I come home. I go, wow, there's another journey under my belt. That was pretty fucking cool. Broke my toe. Got that going for me. Just midweek toe breaking in Toronto. I was trying to fucking, which by the way, I've got a pro tip for you. And I fucked it up and didn't deal with it on myself there. But when you're traveling and you want the blackout curtains, you never seem like you can get the blackout curtains just to get that one fucking gap that always seems to laser beam your fucking eyeball while you're laying there at 5:30 in the morning and the sun just starts to come up and all of a sudden it's like zee, just frying. That used to be my favorite thing of like when you'd be up all night, we used to call it a race in the sun. You'd be like, I gotta get the fuck out of here before the sun comes up. And you would just start boogieing and maybe get caught in a little traffic and then the sun would come up and it'd be like a werewolf or a vampire. You're just like, ah, and that would be it. If the sun hit you, you were just fucking, you, it was like a tap on the shoulder like, hey man, you've been up too long. It's hilarious, man. Anyway, my pro tip is bring a couple of, what do they call those? Not the safety pin, but those laundry fucking pins. What are those things called? Those laundry clamps. Let me look that shit up. I don't even know. I'm so spaced right now. Laundry clamp. I'm going to put into Google here and see what comes up. Laundry clamp. Let's see here. Doesn't come up. What are those things called? Anyway. You know, some people fucking lock them on their nipples when they're having sex. Weird shit like that. What are those things called? Laundry clamp. I got in here. Nothing's coming up. Showing results for laundry clamp. Anyway, you know those things that you hang your clothespins. Fuck, my brain worked. Clothespins. Ding, 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 ding. Feel like a bad episode of Family Feud. Clothespins. And your family guy, hey, laundry clamp, you fucking dummy, Jim. It's clothespins. Anyway, you bring 2 of those with you. And you clothespin the fucking curtain together, and it gets rid of the sunbeam laser. Yeah, see, helping you out on this fucking podcast. Anyway, I forgot my clothespins. So I'm standing up on the AC. It's kind of high. And then I got 1 foot on this hoopty table in the hotel room, and I'm trying to push the curtain over as far as I can to get the fucking sunbeam laser out of my eye. And I fucking, oh man, I eat it. The table gives away. And I could have fucking seriously taking myself out, man. I come crashing down. It's like 5:49 in the morning. The neighbors in the room over must have been like, someone's killing someone over there. But they didn't check, just to give you a heads up. No one checked on me. And my toe just goes, tsh! And I'm like, oh, that fucking hurt. And I roll over to bed with the sunbeam laser, by the way, still blazing me. And the toe's just going thunk-gunk, thunk-gunk, thunk-gunk. And it's like mad pain. And I just kind of pass back out. And I wake up a few hours later to go eat lunch with Sam. And we walk and I forget it's broken. And I throw a shoe on and I'm like, oh, this is fucked. So yeah, got that going for me. And, you know, fucking, that all comes down to the healthcare battle. We could get political here on this podcast if you want, and then I'll get like 5,000 emails on both sides going, oh, fuck, man, I didn't know you were a fucking liberal, or I didn't know you were a fucking full-blown red stater, dude. I didn't know you were fucking... Fuck off. Fucking people, man. It's so... Just relax. Relax for a minute, man. And just care about other shit other than just like, it's me. No, it's me. Anyway, that's my little rant. I don't even know what I was talking about, but I had a great time in Toronto, broke toe and all. And I love you guys for coming out. Some upcoming shows coming up. Oh, I know what I was going to say about Toronto was I did have amazing barbecue again at AFT. That's my favorite place. I always talk about it, AFT. I found out what it stands for, about fucking time. I never knew. I guess the guy was always saying he was going to open something, and then he finally did, and it was like, people were like, about fucking time. So it's called AFT Barbecue or whatever. It's on Queens, and great fucking food, and it's so funny. As much as people argue politics, they'll argue the fuck out of barbecue, which is insane. Insane. No way, man. Toronto, you're out of your mind. They can't have fucking good barbecue. The South, you've obviously never been to the South, dude. Oh, yeah, oh, fuck you. St. Louis is where the ribs are. No way. Fucking Texas barbecue's only barbecue you should have. There's not even any fucking barbecue that compares. Oh yeah, well, I'm from the 510 Oakland. And I fucking go to Flint's. And, you know, fucking that's the best barbecue. Even though they're out of business, I still go there and hope they open. I mean, it's just crazy, these barbecue arguments. You know what you do next time? You just want to fucking set Tinder on fire. Tinder. Twitter on fire. Just throw up on... throw up on Twitter just tomorrow or your Facebook and just find out what kind of fucking assholes follow you. Just go, best barbecue ever is in New Orleans. Just say something randomly. Like, best barbecue ever is in Montana. Yeah, put that up there. And just watch the fucking barrage of dicks that just start flying at you. All barbecue's fucking good. Some's better. Some's okay. It's like Coke. Some's great, some's good, but it's fucking meat, and you're eating it, and you fucking call it a day. I mean, most of you people would eat barbecue off some fucking guy's ghetto rusty Weber with the lighter fluid, the cancer lighter fluid they squirted on the briquettes. You eat that, you're going to fucking argue Toronto barbecue? Anyway, had to get that out there. Barbecue is barbecue. Anyway, great guest today. I've been saying this band name wrong over and over. I call them all different fucking names since the day I found out about them because I'm just a lunatic, you know. I was calling them Greta Von Fleek. Then I was calling them Greta Van Fleek and Greta Fleek Van. And man, I mean, it's just a crazy name. But the band is called Greta Van Fleet. Look them up immediately if you don't know them. Most of you that listen to my podcast know I've been shouting them out for 5-6 months straight now, and they are absolutely smoking. Four guys from Michigan, everybody's talking about how young they are, you know, like that's some kind of fucking, ooh, they're young. Like, you know, young people are great at everything. Why wouldn't they be great at rock and roll? It's so fucking absurd. Oh, they're so young. It's like, yeah, you see what young kids do? Put on YouTube, man. They fucking can play the whole Van Halen one. Six-year-old just whips out a fucking guitar. He can barely even fucking hold it. It's taller than him. It looks like a tree in his hand. And he'll whip out Eruption like you're not even fucking... It's just insane. So, I mean, why is it a shocker? And also, when I was growing up, young people played rock and roll. When I was 16, 17, 18, I played fucking rock and roll. Yeah, man. You know? It's a young man's game. And they got in at the right time. They've been together 5 years, so they started when they were like fucking 14 or something, Def Leppard style. That's still one of the most mightiest all-time young bands, Def Leppard, when they came out, man. Holy shit. On Through the Night, High and Dry, and the EP, those three, I don't even know who the band is after that, but those three, I'll tell you, High and Dry, I know I always say, oh, this is in my top 10 or whatever, and I just, you know, if I had to really sit down, that's so fucking hard, but High and Dry, man. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited when a rock band's young, they got fire, they can play their instruments, and most important, this is the most important thing. I've seen a million young bands, but these guys have tunes. They can write a fucking song, and that, my friend, is why we're talking about this band today. Not that they're young. That'll go away in a minute. That's just a conversation at the fucking water cooler. See that band? Yeah, they're young, huh? Yeah, they're young. And then you just walk away. You're not going to say, see that band? Yeah, they're young, but they got great tunes. Then you're going like, oh, okay, you're not going to walk away. You're like, what do they sound like? Well, what do they sound like? Oh, they sound a little bit like Zeppelin, a little bit like Early Heart, a little bit like Bad Company. Oh, fuck, really? All right, let me check it out. Then you put it on, you go, holy shit, these songs stick in my head. Black Smoke Rising, come on, man, that's a fucking tune. That is a tune that you're going to hear all summer long, man. These guys got an amazing classic rock flavor, and I am dying to hear their record when it comes out. They only got an EP out right now, Highway Tune, Safari Song, Flower Power, Black Smoke Rising. My favorite being probably Flower Power, because I think that song sounds like what, you know, the least of their influences. It probably is what you know, the full sound of what they are as the four. I love these guys, too. They came by the Comedy Store. We did it down in the basement, the interview, and it was just fun to have these guys on. They're fired up. And then I went and watched them at the Viper Room, and they absolutely fucking smoked it. And it was exciting, and it reminded me exactly of when I moved to L.A. and saw Kings of Leon on their EP. Kings of Leon, when they released their EP, I was like, I'm moving to L.A. I was at the Viper Room. I remember it well, you know. I was just in there like, oh, this is the shit right here. People are into rock and roll in L.A. And, you know, and then I got tricked. I got here. I was like, oh, they're not so, they're into good rock and roll. You got to fucking, anyway, Kings of Leon, if you remember their EP, how fucking great that one was. It had just great tunes on it, man. My favorite being Wicker Chair. That, anyway, every once in a while, four or five guys get together and they just write tunes and live, breathe, and smoke rock and roll. And that's what these guys do. Greta Van Fleet, look them up immediately. Go see them. They're out on an American tour starting, I think, this week. And I absolutely love the guys. Okay, before we go any further, let's see. Did I announce the gigs? Can't remember because I'm so out of it. Punchline, August 10th through the 12th with Joey Diaz, San Francisco. That's coming up in a week or two. New York, I'll be there from August 13th through September 5th at The Stand, East Coast. Do not sleep. Come see me in New York at The Stand. Edmonton, Canada. I'll be at the comic strip October 4th through the 8th. And what else? I guess that's about it. I love all you guys. Thanks for the donation to the podcast. Sebastian Pedro, you rock, man. Every nickel counts. I want you guys to keep the candles lit. Support rock and roll and comedy and podcasting. Here we go. Greta Van Fleet. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Hey, that's
right. I hope that was rolling.
Right. Are we responsible for our own volume in this thing? Or is it just for our own sake?
I'm not good. I won't.
Yeah, yeah. Wait. Can you hear yourself?
Not yet.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, there we are.
That's good.
Yeah, that's some real singing.
That's better.
I just wanted to do that because it's real singing.
I like that. It's sexy.
Fun. All right, so introduce yourselves.
Yeah, I'm Josh. Josh Kiska, that's my name. I am the vocalist of this band.
Yep.
I'm Sam.
Sam.
And I'm bass and keys.
Bass and keys.
My name's Danny. I play the drums sometimes.
Yeah, you know, you had your shirt up. I knew you played the drums. You came out like Tommy Lee. Like, oh, shout out the devil.
Yeah. I'm Jake from State Farm, and I play the guitar.
Ha, ha, ha.
That's a
good one.
That's a lawsuit.
All right, now, okay. Here's my my claim to fame. I told Nikki Six about you guys on his show. Then he had you guys on. Yeah, I told Eddie Trunk about you guys. So I'm the dude.
You are the dude.
I got the interview last.
Well, who told you?
You know what was weird was it came up in my feed. I guess it was just like an iTunes thing, you know, like a song of the day or whatever. And I go, oh, what is this funky name? And I click on it, and I'm like, whoa, this shit is good.
Wow.
And then I started diving down the rabbit hole, you know, and there it is, the EP. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. And I start telling everyone on Instagram and Twitter, like, nonstop, you know, like, hey, get this.
So you were just taken by the name.
No, it wasn't the name. It was actually, I think what happens is, you know, the computer kind of knows what you're into, of course.
Yeah.
And then it just recommended it. Yeah, recommended it. You know, like when you're looking at porn, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
If you like seal porn, you might like this here. And then
yeah, you might like horse porn.
Yeah, right? You never know.
Yeah.
Now,
they're watching us.
Here's a funny thing. Everybody makes a big deal about your,
it's watching us. Not them. It.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, it is. If you listen to people, Illuminati and all that.
It's watching.
Cloud. It's the cloud.
It's watching them too. You know.
Well, it has.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah. I feel like I'm interviewing the Beatles on their first run. You know.
It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true.
What are you trying to say? We all talk at the same time when we just. Blah, 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 blah.
All right, let's get into it though. So. You know, people make a big deal about the age, and I laugh because I think about when I played rock, I played music 25 years. People were young, you know, Def Leppard, you know, their EP, even up to Kings of Leon, people were young, and they make a big deal out of it. Like, these guys are so young. And I'm like, yeah, but that's how bands are. You know what I mean?
After some time, they get it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy. How old are you guys?
Well, two of us are 21 and two of us are 18.
Right.
So that's it's easy that way, is you know.
But you've been together since 2012, so man, you guys were like 9 when you started.
Yeah,
right?
We were.
Yeah,
and it's funny because imagine like a 12-year-old bass player in some shitty bar, and can we say that word? It's a podcast.
Yeah, you can say anything you want.
Podcast, we can say shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just funny, but I think it's cool that my parents, and Daniel, they let us do that, and they supported it, and they came in, and they made sure we were safe.
Yeah, that's why. Is it like sometimes some kind of like star safe parents where they're like, get in there and rehearse?
No.
Was
no,
it that?
No.
How did it start out? Because like, you know, young. I think the only weird thing about young people being in a band is that young people don't like rock anymore. You know what I mean? It's all DJs and EDM and all that, you know, right?
No, that's true. Yeah,
I think it's becoming a lost art, you know, especially for our generation. I don't think that anyone particularly has those influences because I don't think they were surrounded by them too much. But we were given a unique opportunity to grow up, you know, to be raised, all of us, and, you know, creatively contributing environment. So we grew up with vinyl, and we listened to a lot of old rock and a lot of blues and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were given the opportunity to have those influences, and I think that just comes through in the music.
I never really even understood the music that I was growing up with that was on the radio.
Parents were playing it, or you were just hearing it on classic rock in Michigan?
Well, the music that we were listening to was all of the stuff that our parents would listen to in the car, which are they had this old stereo system, and you have all the vinyls that they stored and we would screw with the stuff and slow it down and speed it up and listen. And we knew where the tracks were on what albums, and as we grew older, we knew who they were and how it was all connected. And that was our music, you know.
Right.
We never really picked up the stuff that the kids that we went to school were listening to, you know. It didn't make any sense to us. We didn't understand why they were, you know, listening to. It wasn't that good to us.
When we were on the bus and they played the pop stations, we're like,
Jesus
what
Christ.
What the hell?
Right.
Shit
we're
off.
Like, we're like, you know, genuinely in question of what that music is and why people listen to it.
It's weird because you guys are a family, and when you look at that, a lot of times one of the guys in the family is going to rebel, right? Like, oh, I'm not into rock. That's my brother's stuff or whatever. You know what I mean?
Me.
So to all grab it, though, like I know this band Stonefield. They're old friends of mine from Australia. You know them? They're four sisters, you know?
Yeah.
And they started early young, and the dad was into Zappa. And next thing you know, they love Zappa, and they play the shit out of their instruments. Now, when you're first sitting around listening to it, do you guys think, hey, let's be a band, or does it slowly happen?
Very slowly.
I think it slowly just became what it was now, you know, it slowly became a band.
We were just kind of like, you know, we were always making music in our own way. I mean, Jake was playing guitar since he could crawl across the thing, and, you know, you just sing because you can sing, and it's just something natural to you that's like another function, you know, of any sort that's like sleeping or eating or, you know, that shitting. It's like that kind of thing. So the thing was, it's like at some point it was going to happen, right? I mean, it might as well have. So everybody fell into place, and we were trying to make music that not, you know, we were just making music we wanted to hear. The stuff that we grew up listening to, and that was the kind of stuff we were making. And I was
that's what we were making.
That's all we wanted to do. That's all, you know, that's kind of the whole thing.
Now, you guys grew up in a weird town. I was just in Detroit, right? And everybody knows I love your band, so wherever I go, they go, yeah, they're from here, you know? And actually, some guy goes, actually, they're not from here. They're from some weird Bavarian fucking town up the road. And I was like, what? You know, like here in California, we got this weird Swiss town called Solvang. You know, you go and it's all like Swiss looking shit, you know? So describe the town that you guys grew up in. Is it a weird joint?
It's all like traditional German architecture, pretty much.
I mean, we were actually floated in on baskets
by cranes, you know,
up the river.
Yeah.
But is it what is the history of that town? Did some people move there?
A lot of history. It was like early German settlers that kind of were like that was the backbone of the whole thing. I guess that was first and foremost. That's kind of how the thing was. But it's got the biggest Christmas store.
In the world.
Is Christmas just every day there or something?
Yeah, that's kind of where they get at.
Yeah, I heard of that. Like, what the
here's a fun fact. During the Prohibition, the biggest alcohol bust was in Zenders, in the basement of Zenders. Because they're all German guys. They want to drink beer.
We're really proud of that one.
We are.
We're all about it.
Now, you guys, your parents play at all? Or how did you figure out what instruments you guys were going to get on?
Yeah, our father is a musician.
What do you play? Guitar?
He's played guitar and bass, and he is foremost a blues harmonica player. His art player.
And that's Sam Jakin. That's like our father. And
right.
Danny's mother plays the guitar. As far as
she plays the guitar.
right.
And Daniel plays the guitar too. You know, I think it's really cool. These guys are multi-talented musicians. I don't know.
Yeah, that's great.
Get away with being able to. Yeah. Mike can get away with something. I don't know.
So you start to want to be a band, and do you try something before guitar, and were you trying an instrument and then no, I'm the singer?
I can play with like keys, some keys and the drums. Since I remember I was on drums, but Daniel will knock me out of the water.
You're damn right.
He won't let me forget it either. He's one of my favorites.
Well, we never really wanted to be in a band. It just kind of happened. No, we started playing. We're like, man, this is fun. This is cool.
I mean, it was that sort of thing where it's like, you're not even trying to do something, and it just happens, you know. Oh, why not? We'll take that way.
Yeah. Now, you're the singer, and of course, your voice is amazing, and a lot of people talk Robert Plant and stuff like that, but I hear definitely on the last track a lot of Ann Wilson, you know?
That's so weird. He's gotten that before.
I definitely hear some heart there, that's, you know, cool. Some upper register, Barracuda, that kind of thing, you know? Dreamboat Annie.
Yeah, I just kind of like, what I got away with was when I was, you know, it's like, well, how am I going to get the most power out of this, you know?
Right.
Because that's when you feel like you're really creating something magical and extreme, you know? And that's what it sounded like. And I love Robert Plant. Ann Wilson is a beautiful singer, and I even like Grace Slick and Joe Cocker and God, Sam and Dave and Wilson Pickett.
Little Rush in there, you know?
Well, actually, no, but I imagine it sounds like they.
Well,
too,
it's a lot
know?
Of, so, you know, a lot of high vocals well, there. Yeah.
Josh is actually a better bass player than Geddy
Lee. No, no, no. Yeah.
But he doesn't,
I don't
he doesn't
play
do
the
it.
Bass.
Yeah. He can't do it at the same time, though, but he is a better bass player.
He just plays the foot pedals.
I can only play the bass with my toes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those.
That's how I do it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so you guys got an EP out right now, but you guys actually recorded a record a while ago, right, a couple years ago, and then now that thing just can't get that. Was that a plan of like, let's ditch this? Was it a different style? What's going on with that?
If we find you with it, we'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
so
I kind of figured.
Watch out.
It was almost like record companies are like, get rid of this, man. You
well,
got a
people,
new sound.
It was way back, and people kept asking for material that they want a CD, you know? So we released Live in Detroit.
Yeah, I think ultimately what we wanted was control over the entire, you know, all of the archive and all of the music that we've been writing. And it wasn't so necessarily record label didn't say shit about it. It was just, we want to put a cap on that. We want to be able to control it. And we want to be able to control the consumption of it because if we, you know, we want people to hear certain things, you know, we want that message of it.
Cool,
and they're still out there.
Yeah, because
we'll probably
these
release
little,
them in the future.
There's
well,
these little one-off things. So yeah. I think that's cool and unique.
Yeah, well, that makes it great for fans to, like, seek it out. Like, I got the early shit. You know?
Yeah.
But you guys, I don't even know. I played music 25 years, and I have no idea how you even get a record deal now or even how that happens.
We don't know
that
either.
I mean, you guys have a record deal, right?
Yes.
But how did it come about? Were you gigging? Did an A&R guy come down? Or is it like MySpace? They got a million followers?
It was very formal in the way that it kind of happened. It was very natural. I think we were in the studio for about 2 years just trying to come up with something and just coming, I mean, really recording all of these songs and et cetera. And it was just kind of like one of those, well, what are we going to do with this? Are we going to, you know, we could do this or that, or what are we going
to
release?
That's why it kind of took such a long time.
You know, yeah, and it eventually got passed down from one person to the next, and then, you know, before you know it, it's just sort of happened naturally where these people are starting to listen to the tracks and going, well, I'd like to bring you on board. Are you interested? You know, kind of thing.
Now, EP, to me, seems like the only way you can go these days because people's ADD is out of control.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
It's all fucking click and move on. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I saw them. They don't even look at the back track of the record. But if you look at all the greatest records, some of the best songs are on the back end of the records. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the records, you know, the deep cuts.
That's true. Because nowadays you have this digital bass that you can do it off of, and you can listen to that one song over and over instead of listening through albums.
Yeah, like people don't even respect sequencing anymore.
Honestly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sequencing and artwork. It's just kind of like all disposable.
It's a lost art.
You guys get a record deal. Now you're doing three EPs and it's going to make a full record, or what's going on with
that? We're not so sure about that anymore.
Right, okay.
Because we're going to be so busy until the end of the year with touring and stuff.
What's also going is that, you know, over the last 2.5 years that we've been in the studio, we've been working on quite a bit of material. We've got a large catalog of things recorded, so we do have an idea of what we want to do for the album, but we're so busy right now we can't quite get in and finish
well,
it.
Well, and it could change by the time we get home. I mean, I'm a comedian and I go out on the road and I'm like, this is going to be the record. And then by the time I get home, I don't even do that material anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
You're just kind of like, oh, I can't even believe that was us. It's you know, that's true.
Yeah,
That's an amazing thing, too, to think about. Now that you're gigging, you can't really learn stage presence at your rehearsal studio or whatever. But now if you're gigging every fucking night, like you guys are out quite a bit, you start to gel on stage, right? Like, do you look at your video and be like, oh, we're way better than that now?
Well, I think that we've slowly progressed naturally through the channels of time doing this. But, I mean, over the last 5 years, it's very difficult for any of us to particularly gauge the performance. Like, one night could be brilliant, the next could be all right. And, you know, no matter what, even if you listen back on them, I think they're all uniquely, you know, interesting on their own because of what's going on. But, yeah, of course, I think we are getting a lot better.
Yeah, and it's
so
nice
much that
we played, like, hundreds of shows before we had a record deal.
That's great, yeah. I mean, some bands, you know, fake bands thrown together by a label, they get out, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, they got great songs, but, I mean, you know, like, one of my favorite bands is Rival Sons, great friends of mine, and I've been following them ever since. And, you know, those guys are old school, man, like Kings of Leon. They go to Europe and pound it out all summer, play 90 gigs, then come back, do a record, go back to Europe, you know? Yeah. And that becomes a fucking machine to where you see this band and you go, holy shit, because any band could get lucky with one song and then you go see them live and you're like, whoa, snooze fest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all about, especially with rock, it's about a live show. You know?
Yeah, yep. I think that's one strong suit that we all have is the fact that I don't think we really fancied ourselves ever studio musicians. We were never that. We always, as soon as we got together and started doing this, we were always playing live and jamming constantly. So that's something that we're very familiar with. So it was really interesting getting into the studio for the first time and actually trying to understand. It was a really strong learning curve because we were not familiar with the
studio. Yeah, because we were never like, let's write a hit song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, boys, let's do it. Come on. Get that synth on.
You guys actually, write the songs?
Yeah.
I'm just checking. I mean, you know, like Kings of Leon on the first record, you know, that producer wrote a lot of the stuff with them, you know. Yeah. And sometimes it could be some old burnout in Detroit, like, I'm a classic rock king. Come on in.
No.
You know what I mean?
That never happened in our circumstance.
No. Once you get out on the road and you start singing, because I'm a singer also, you realize, oh no. You know what I mean? Some of the notes are crazy high. You know, like Black...
Yeah, it's
he
like,
does that to himself.
Like
Black
myself,
Smoke Rising. You're like, oh, man, I should have sang that lower. But but
I mean,
also...
That could be a concern if you were, like, fucking sick. But I don't... Yeah. I mean, you know...
You warm up and stuff?
No.
No?
Not really. Not in the traditional sense. No, it's just like you put on your tight pants, start screaming, and then you throw yourself on the stage.
We just sing Let's Go to the Hop a couple
times.
As of
now, you know, it's concerning, you know, because a lot of those notes are so high. Or the technicality of a lot of the parts is so, well, you know. Ooh, yikes. But most of the time, it's just kind of like a lot more of the concern of doing it before doing it, the build-up. You know, it's... But when you're on... I mean, I don't find that I have any problem with it.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you know, like I watched you sing live a couple days ago on something. You guys were playing like a small studio or something. Yeah. And it was interesting because it was just popping out of you. Like there's no neck flare or anything. It's like Black Moon Rising. You know, it's like Black Smoke Rising. I'm like, whoa, is he really doing that? You know what I mean? Yeah, man, it's pretty rad.
Cool.
Now, what about the look? You guys, did the label try to come in and go, all right, here's a stylist, here's
good
some
one.
Clothes?
Yeah, that was a fucking joke.
Well, we just do what we want. They're cool with it.
But did they try to do that? Like, hey, let's get a uniform look.
Not too much.
No?
I think it's been really good about the way they've been about the way they've approached this is that what they're doing is seems to be working, and let's not try to fix something that's not broken. And that we've had more control in most anything than any band that I've today that they're doing. It seems like we have quite a bit of control over what we're doing, and that's good. We wouldn't take it any other way. I mean, we have nothing to lose. We didn't do this to make money or to be famous. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
We're just trying to make good music. And
there's no money in rock.
Fuck no. There's no money in music in general. I didn't know.
No, there's no money in music in general. Like,
is there money in this?
Do you guys because you guys are in the world of like, oh, we just give the music away, right? I don't even know what that's like to go in and record a record and then be like, well, we're just going to be giving this away, like in that frame of mind. But you guys are young and that's the era that you came up in. But isn't that interesting? Like, I always tell there's comedians here and they go, oh, yeah, I just download music. And I'm like, what if somebody, you know, just grabbed all your jokes and went and did a special on it, just stole all your jokes, how would you feel? And they go, oh, I'd fucking be furious. And I'm like, yeah, that's the same with rock and roll. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You just steal rock and roll. Somewhere along the way, people just thought that's okay, and it never went away. Turns out Metallica was right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, hey, this shit's going to come down, and better get ready for it. But it's pretty wild. So you guys are out, and of course you're not looking to get rich. You want to do art and stuff, but shit costs money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking gasoline, hotels, a bus. You guys got a bus?
We have a van.
You got a van?
Yeah.
Yep. Van and trailer.
Van and
classic combo.
Yeah, classic combo. Yep, van and trailer.
Down by the river, boys.
I swear to God, every band I see now has a van and trailer. Even when I do these festivals doing comedy, and I'd say four people have buses, and then it's van and trailer.
That's because Metallica's right. That's what we all do now.
But the promo going into your band is incredible. Like, it's some old school promo. I don't know. What is the label? It's, what are they called?
Lava Republic.
Yeah. Who are these guys? Like, where are they getting the muscle?
They're kind of sharpshooters. They're snipers. in the range, in the valley.
I mean, come on. You got to look at all the bands signed. You know what I mean? And it's like, holy shit, man. These guys are getting some promo.
Yeah. They're the best at what they do.
Yeah, but I mean, it's insane. Who else is on your label?
Lord, Jesse J.
They're all mad right now. Like, we ain't getting any promo. These fucking guys are getting it all.
Yeah, it's always the new guys, you know.
Now, when you guys headline, I'm assuming you guys headline when you're not opening for somebody. What do you do? Throw in a bunch of covers when you're out there playing?
No, we play all original.
Yeah, this goes back to what Jake said about.
You've got way too much material.
All the material in the vaults. Yeah.
Wow. So we have four songs from the EP, and then you just start playing songs people don't know. That's old school.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. We could put together a damn good 4-hour show.
Wow, really?
Out of all original material.
Well, we used to do 3-hour shows.
Yeah, probably two covers in there for fun.
Yeah.
Like some Howlin' Wolf.
Like jamming around on the old blues stuff.
Well, no, that was Fisher Hall. We would play this hall downtown and we'd go for 4 hours. It was, at some point,
well,
it got
we were
all original material.
Usually
four hours straight?
Usually we were booked for 4 hours and then we would play another hour. So that's like five. So that's like a quarter of. That's like half the time you're awake.
That was a long show, yeah.
Now, are you guys doing some jamming in there? Or like Zeppelin 77 era, that kind of stuff? You know what I mean? Like a 20-minute no quarter? Or are you playing 40 songs?
We could really riff on something. Or like,
We did a lot of jamming.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, oh, you got to play the song. We still jam as much as we can get away with.
Yeah.
You guys into the Dead kind of jamming or more Zeppelin jamming?
Either way.
So you like the Dead?
I do.
You do? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, there's a, I mean.
I love the Dead. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, amongst us, there's a huge eclectic amount of musicians. I mean, it's amazing. You know, when somebody's good at what they do, it's real music and they're really talented at what they do. That is. What music is missing a lot now.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, you can make somebody that
looks good about the Dead.
And sounds and then can talk and is not a mute and sell it.
Yeah.
The thing about the Grateful Dead, they're great, don't get me wrong, but sometimes they're the greatest band in the world, like on all their live recordings, but sometimes it's like, do these guys even know what they're doing?
Yeah.
Because they're so like stoned.
Well, I mean, you guys do drugs at all?
No.
No, I'm just asking because it's like, you know, it seems like bands don't do drugs anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like
They're learning from the old guys.
That's
a lesson to
like,
geez,
that didn't turn out so well then.
It's like if we learn from the lessons of history, then, you know.
Well, actually, I just read Clapton's autobiography. And if there was ever a thought in my mind about doing any of that heavy shit.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, yeah.
It scared the shit out of me.
Really? Does he get way into the heroin era?
Yeah, said that he sat in a corner, went for like, he was off of it for like not even a day, and he was in the corner in the most pain he's ever been in, just screaming.
Oh,
like,
detoxing.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had all the Black Crowes on, and man, their stories are amazing. Their drug stories, just going out and doing mushrooms 30 days straight.
Every day, you know what I mean?
What?
Yeah, oh yeah. On a tour, like a huge, I'm talking arena tour, and just going, all right, it's 5 o'clock, take these.
Damn, that sounds like something our manager would do.
Oh, yeah, your manager? You guys ever play Smalls? I just did that last week.
Smalls?
In Detroit? It's a rock club.
No, I've heard of it, but we never played it.
Oh, wow.
We haven't been in Detroit in like 2 months.
I know, but the club's been there since 99.
Yeah, that's true.
That's when Danny was born. It wasn't built last week.
That is when I was born.
I love you. You definitely play drums.
Yeah.
Now, who are you guys out with right now?
Not a soul, man.
Not a soul.
No, oh, you're just out headlining?
Yeah, actually,
we have a headlining tour in August.
Oh, wow. Where does it start?
Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio. Great town, man.
Yeah.
That's a great town. Right. You guys play the Fillmore yet in San Fran?
Not yet.
Man,
we're getting there.
You'll get there.
But yeah, just today we announced our European tour.
Oh, wow. Where are you going?
In Europe.
I know, but all over? Everywhere?
Yeah, Paris, yeah. Berlin.
France.
London.
England. Wow, that's going to be great. They love rock. Yes, I mean, Rival Sons, just that was the and same with Kings of Leon, just over there working it every year. You got to go where they love rock.
Yeah, you know, I think that's been a classic exchange of music between Europe and the America, and you know, in the United States for quite some time. It's like, you know, even back when Hendrix went over to Europe, or Joplin, or the Doors, you know, and it's hard for them to make it here in the States, and then the same thing for the Europeans. You know, they send us, you know, the British Invasion, and they send us all these musicians, and we seem to exchange musicians back and forth, and that's kind of always how it's been, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Strokes broke over there. Yeah. I just talked to the Stray Cats yesterday, and they went there in 79, lived in a fucking park, and just, no joke, and then went for it, and then, you know, Lemmy saw them, and Dave Edmonds and all these guys saw him, and then the next thing you know, they got a record deal, which is crazy. I mean, you know, people say rock is dead, and I name like 1,000 bands right now that are incredible. There's so many bands right now. I can't even keep up with them, man. I just got turned on to this band Elder yesterday, or All Them Witches is great. There's tons of rock, you know. I think that it's exactly how it used to be in the 70s before it got huge, other than the arena bands. But I'm talking about when I was listening to rock, it was like 5 guys in a locker going, hey, let's check this out. You know, yeah. Van Halen won. You know, it wasn't a whole school.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of great material out there, but you just have to sift through the bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's the same way it's always been, 95% shit and then 5% authentic good music.
It's true. It's true. I mean,
that's what people are looking for, authenticity, which is really truth. And when you give them something that somebody's created to appeal to them, then sure, that's appeasing, but it's shit. And ultimately, it only lasts for a week, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's great, but where does that stand in the annals of time?
Fast food.
Back then, fast food, right.
Shelf life.
Goes right through you, man. It doesn't stick around. There's no long lasting. Because it's not authentic and truthful and really representation of one's interpretation of something or one's presentation of something. It doesn't stand.
I think we're all very firm believers in the fact that you can't manufacture emotion. You just can't do it. So why would you, stick it through this stencil and try to make it feel like something?
Well, that's what, if you keep putting out shit, you know, record labels keep putting out shit, then eventually people are like, man, I'm tired of shit.
I mean, you only eat so much shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I always say, like people go, man, isn't it incredible how great Adele sounds? And I go, back in the day, everyone sounded like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, it's such a fluke now that one person is like, oh my God. It's
bingo.
Like,
yeah. And she's one of the most, I mean, really, in my opinion, easily one of the greatest singers of the 21st century, period.
Smoking.
Her mark has been made. It's there. Well, it will never leave. It's an amazing thing because it has that quality.
Exactly.
And the thing about Adele is that she lets her voice kind of break through. Like, it's not every single note on the recording is like perfect.
Yeah. It's not all like digital punched in.
So,
you
can hear her voice like breaking up on the upper registers. It's like, damn, it's just so much more emotional.
Well, we went through that whole era of singers where it was just singer acrobats, where I can't stand, where it really started with like those stupid contest shows, like The Voice and all that. Yeah. People are all blown away, but there's zero emotion in that. They're just doing acrobats like, And they're like, oh my God. And the people stand up like, this is insane.
Music
it's like,
theory
no, it's
at
not.
Work there.
It's not, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take Iggy Pop over that any day. You know what I mean? There's more than just hitting notes. It's about danger. It's about authenticity. And it's about fucking being real.
Identity.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a voice and a vibe and everything. That's what rock and roll is. It's like, what the fuck is that?
It's a goddamn attitude. It's a whole thing. It's a counterculture that I think is a little dormant, but, you know, I don't like, it's, you know.
Exactly. You guys are going to, when are you going to do a full-length record?
It'll be in the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're looking at the next year.
You guys looking around at producers? Is that a big deal to you or...
I was thinking about producing our own. No, I'm just kidding.
It's still on the shelf.
There's kind of like asset. We've been toying around with a bunch of ideas. And
who do you like?
Well, our man Al Sutton never lets us down.
No,
he's the best damn rock producer in the world.
I think he's certainly gonna be on board. But then there's who knows what's going on. We're really figuring out what we want to do, and we have good feel for what the next thing's gonna be. I mean, it's all there. It's now how are we gonna present this correctly, so that's the next thing.
I like bands, I think bands that go the longevity and the test of time are, your EP has a classic rock sound, same with Rival Sons first thing or Kings of Leon, and then the next thing comes, it's totally different, but it's still your guys' vibe and flavor. If you look at each Rival Sun record, one's kind of the Kinks-ish, one's kind of Zeppelin. It's great to grow, I think, too. You know what I'm saying? Is your material all kind of the same flavor, or does it go all over the board?
It really goes all everywhere.
Yeah. Like, what does it range from? Is it like three-minute hit songs?
There's ballads, there's psychedelia elements, there's blues, there's folk, I mean, it goes.
But as far as song structure goes, we have the quick, we have the short songs, but then we have the 8-minute rock operas,
What we want to put forward is something that's dynamic as hell, and that can't be pigeonholed in any way, which I don't think that this is going to be a problem with. But that, then there's no way to avoid sounding
and
like Credit and Fleet. It's going to have all of those elements.
Right. And how could it not be contemporary if it is contemporary? So put that out of the picture,
Hell yeah, man. That's insane. Now, do you write the lyrics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that hard for you?
No.
No?
No. Half that shit, it was like, all right, well, I'm not feeling that. No, okay, this is a good vibe, and it becomes a melody, and it's a beautiful thing. And then it's like, all right, well, we got to record this, and I'm in, the other room writing
just write
lyrics
it right there
before it goes on.
Yeah.
5 minutes that we record the vocals. Sometimes that's how it goes. Other times, it's like, well, this is a beautiful song that I think really moves me to the point that I want to sit down and put some lyrics that have some gravity to them.
Right.
At times that'll happen. And I think in the next album, or the first album here coming out eventually, that there's going to be a lot of some interesting work.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best lyrics come out when you're under the gun and there's money spent on the studio, and you're like, shit, I got to actually do this, I was never a guy that sat down and had lyric books and then went, this will fit in there, because, to me, I have to hear the song, and then that triggers the fucking thing.
Exactly.
And it starts going, and it all comes with a melody line, and then you're fucked. You're like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you're like, oh, what am I going to put in there, And that becomes the goddamn puzzle,
For some reason, it's like when I initially sing something, there's already lyrics there, and it's like, well, if there's lyrics there in the melody that, they have to, for some reason, they must have some place, like there's a place for those lyrics. It's like, initially, when that riff, it was like, oh, I love this melody, and those were the lyrics that kind of came with it. So the song was kind of written off of the just immediate vibe,
Right.
I think, but there are some songs that I have to take a little bit more work than that,
Yeah.
Well, I think it is just that, because if I'm sitting there writing a song just for myself and I'm going through melody, it just is there. Usually you're singing something on top of it, and then you start thinking about it, and he does it, and everybody does it. We're like, what does that mean? Because it just comes out of nowhere, these lyrics that just just are there, and you go, what the hell does that mean? And you start putting it to context for yourself and understand why it's there.
It's like the words that immediately come out of you from a feeling or a sensation.
And that, and that's
the
like,
song. Well, that must be very important.
That's the song. That's how I do. That is the life of the song.
I always describe it. I had this song called Highway, and the chorus was, there's a man on the highway rolling sideways all alone. That just came out as I was strumming the guitar, and then I go, well, that'll be the throwaway lyric, and I'll get something later.
Right.
And then I was like, this ain't nothing gonna beat this.
Exactly.
It came from the fucking
came from the gods.
Exactly. Yeah, it skipped the part where you thought about it.
Exactly.
It came right out of your heart.
Yeah, and it really does. Yeah. And then you gotta write the verses to like, well, what does this mean now?
Exactly. And that's what the artist is so in tune. You know, most are.
Now there's some B3 on the record, which is absolutely my favorite instrument.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Except I prefer the C3 cabinet. The church style
cabinet. Yeah, I love the C3.
But that is a B.
Now, I like the ones that are chopped into the box.
Oh,
Those are dope, right?
And especially like sometimes they make them so small. I'm like, how do you fit all that stuff?
It's great though, man. Do you carry a B3 with you guys?
I've got an SK2.
Oh yeah, I gotcha.
SK2, I think is the best simulation in the entire world.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Because I almost got the Nord.
Yeah,
C2.
The Nord was the one that everybody used for a long time.
But I'll give them that their samples, like their keyboard, their other keyboard samples, like their pianos, electric pianos, sound better. But for authentic Hammond organ, Hammond Suzuki really put in the work for this one. So
that's great, man. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Which I actually haven't been able to use it on these past shows, but for the headlining tour, I'm bringing it because it adds a whole nother dimension to the show.
We're getting the acoustic involved as well.
Yep.
It's great. A lot more range.
It's great for vocals too. You can just lay that bed down, you know, especially when you get into the breakdowns, you know, and it's like just, you know.
We were just listening to I've Seen All Good People.
Yeah.
And how those organ pads go down, it's so huge because
awesome.
It covers all the registers, the bass, all the way up to the very highest note.
Yeah, I mean, you know, B3, I mean, that to me was the big thing of Black Crowes during that era when there was all kinds of bands out just, you know, playing blues rock.
Yeah.
You know, they had the B3 and it just laid it down and made it so authentic.
It's not blues without that.
Yeah, it really isn't. You guys into St. Paul and the Broken Bones?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we saw them live, actually, twice.
I had him on the show a couple years ago. What a singer that guy is. Huh?
That's a great band.
Yeah. That's a great band, man. I mean, the tunes are so fucking good. And that's a classic.
Good writers, too, yeah.
Great writers. And that's a classic thing of there's a sound that nobody was really doing at the time and people grabbed onto it because it was great.
Yeah, so soulful.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Really
it comes
stuff.
Down to songs.
Like you said, that's like another thing where someone would go, holy shit, this is one of a kind, but it was just like a very common thing for a lot of people to sound like that.
The entire Motown label.
Years ago.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
The entire Motown is like, that was, there was 30 of those bands, you know? It's incredible that people just, it's some kind of wake up call, you know, hopefully it guides people back down to the old stuff, you know, like, oh, wow, this, like when I fell in love with a certain band, then somebody would go, oh, well, you should listen to where they got that. And then you're like, holy shit, this is great. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Now, a bugle call over a lost battlefield.
Yeah. You guys comedy fans? I was asking you outside.
Yeah.
I mean, this place right here is the number one comedy club in America.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I know when you're out on the road, it gets pretty boring and stuff, but do you guys fuck with each other at all in a comedic
more than
way?
More enough, man. Yeah,
in
yeah.
a comedic way?
Yeah. We bought an air horn just recently. That's been fun, you know.
I'm reading the Van Halen tour manager book. It's out right now. It's pretty heavy. And you guys are family, and I've also had the Black Crowes on, you know, and Rich Robinson said that when it's your brother, you know how to really fuck the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
To
very
like,
true.
Just to throw a dagger, if you're fighting on the road,
know how to push buttons.
Yeah, it's way different than bandmates that don't know the deep, dark secrets. But you guys any fighting?
But what's neat is that all of us know how to, when it's all of this put together, you know, when we all fuck with one person, they're dead.
Oh.
That's when you know it's all of us coming at somebody at many different angles. You want to break somebody?
Yeah.
It's easy. You just get the gang together, man. And you
Dad never liked you, he told me. That kind of shit.
Well, that's if you're going at each other, man. I mean, I'm saying if we all gang up on somebody, they're fucking done for, you know?
You guys against a stranger.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. It wouldn't be very obvious either because it would be slow and immediate in so many different ways, you know? It would be something that you wouldn't expect.
There's enough.
Then you lose lose your mind.
So watch the fuck out.
There's enough angles of perception here to really surround someone with too much of damnation. If we need to bring in the muscles, then Daniel comes in. And
I prefer physical.
Physical. You just have to shove a bitch out, you know.
Now let's get into the drumming here.
All right.
Who is your guy?
Well, you know, John Bonham.
Yeah, of course.
But he's dead.
Yeah.
Keith Moon.
But he's dead.
Yeah.
Buddy Rich, is that one of those? I like Buddy Rich. I don't know.
Buddy Rich is great.
Buddy Rich is great. I like Mitch Mitchell's a lot. Yeah. He's probably beats all of them.
Yeah, and what kind of kit you playing?
I have a Ludwig kit.
Oh, yeah.
I've always been a Ludwig fan. That's kind of what got me into drumming. The coolest kits I saw were all Ludwigs, and Gretsch is a close second. But I have a Ludwig Bonham kit, the big 26, because it was so tempting.
Is it Vista Light or Sparkle or the Amber? Maple.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, he knows his stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a fucking Zeppelin freak. That's why think originally the band came to me. Like everything, all my searches are always like, what's Jimmy Page doing today? You know what I mean? Yep. Like, yeah, I mean, Zeppelin is just, what I love about that is just like I was saying, every one of their records was different. You know, one's a blues rock record, the first one, you know, it's like acid blues rock. And, you know, by the time you get to 3 with the acoustic shit.
It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, right? And I even worship In Through the Outdoor, and people try to clown that record, you know? I think All of My Love, try to write a song that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or In the Evening? That
song's kick ass.
Yeah, that's a great song. Now, okay, let's get into the gear a little bit, because some nerds here are listening. What do you play?
Love gear. Me?
Yeah.
There's people out there that want to know what I play?
Oh, people are gear nerds. They're like, you didn't ask him about his gear.
Okay.
And then the girls go, I'm turning it off.
That's all right. We like guys.
Well, actually, we were in the studio rehearsing for the Struts tour, and my jazz bass was just sounded like shit in the mix.
Yeah.
So Marlon Young, who's Kid Rock's band leader and guitarist, and he co-produced our album too. Or our EP.
The EP he did?
Yeah, he
co-produced
that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's got some fucking Kid Rock in there, huh?
Oh, hell no.
Just his guitar. So that guy's a great guitar player.
Yeah, no, Marlon Young is a musical genius, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he brought out in a 80s precision bass that was like a reissue of the old, early 60s jazz bass.
Stack Knob one?
It was a P bass. No, but I really want to get my hands on one of the stack knobs.
Those are great.
The 62s. Oh.
Yeah.
Get my hands on an original one and they'll drop like $13,000.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You guys, have you ever been to Norm's Rare Guitars?
I don't know how long you're
in town, but go over there and lose your fucking minds.
Yeah, I know. That's
our minds and our money. Yeah.
Like a kid in a candy shop.
I'm telling you, it's the best store in America. And there is that. Follow them on Instagram and just drool. It'll make you want to work harder. You know.
All right. We're going.
I carry around this 1961 Les Paul that was sent to me.
61.
Yeah. So it's the transition year. It's got the SG body.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. So
the one that Les Paul didn't help design body style. So he's like, take my fucking name off that. So they named it the SG, but. Yeah,
which is really creative, by the way.
Chicago Music Exchange.
Oh, I love that store.
It's brilliant.
What a great store.
It is, really.
And now, what color is it?
It's kind of like a wood.
Cherry red.
It's a cherry red wood.
And it's original?
Kind of broken up, all original.
Wow. And what kind of amp?
And they sent me an Astoria, Marshall Astoria, and that's a one that they compilated from a bunch of other amplifiers.
It's like a carnivorous.
Yeah.
And it's all like hand wound in England, and it's really gritty, you know.
It's circuit, like point-to-point wiring on that?
The circuit is like a cross between a JCM and a Super Lead.
Is that the one that looks weird? Actually, that
yeah, it
that,
looks like yeah. kind of 50s.
I've fucking seen
like
that amp. I was like, what the hell is
what,
that?
What, do you have like number four?
Like the interior of a Mustang.
Oh, that's a cool amp because I couldn't believe Marshall went outside of their standard look. I was like, wow, this is dope. It was almost like they wanted to get into the boutique kind of matchless game and shit.
Yeah, they're not bitches, that's for sure. No, they're in there.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, tell us about your microphone.
Yeah, well, I was mic do you have?
Tell me about that crusty mic.
Well, you know, this thing looks like a beauty. What do we got here? Our mic's a fucking microphone. Wow.
Yeah, right? It really is. You guys into Prince at all? I just went to his place where he passed.
Oh, really? Man.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy. Paisley Park, kidding. Man. You got to go there if you play Minnesota, you know, like First Avenue. That's heavy shit. Did you get into you guys into funk and stuff?
Oh, yeah. We love the funk.
Yeah, who do you like?
Come on, Stevie Wonder, Detroit.
Oh, yeah, right.
From Detroit, man.
God, that early Stevie.
Motown.
You been in Motown, the studio? I went in there a couple weeks ago.
Really?
It is insane. It's about the size of this room right here. You're like, what the hell? All those great records made in there.
That must just be a magical area. Room,
you, I can't believe you guys live close to there and you've never been.
I know.
Not yet.
What do you guys do when you're off? Do you all live at the same house?
Yeah, three of us are at home, and then Danny's down the road at home.
But then we're too busy being bitched at by our producer in the studio.
Which guy, the Kid Rock dude?
No, Al Sutton.
Well, both.
Oh, he produced Kid Rock's first three albums.
Oh, wow. That guy's got money, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? I like how you laugh.
If a label is involved, who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
music
yeah.
industry. Money. Oh,
yeah. Now, does he have a studio? Is that where you guys track at?
Yep, Rust Belt Studios in Royal Oak.
And is it nice? Is
Very
it tape?
Nice. Yeah.
Tape or digital?
Both.
It's a beautiful studio.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's fucking great, man. I can't wait to see you guys tomorrow night. Now, how many songs are you going to play tomorrow night? Just 10 or something?
We've got like 6, 7.
6 or 7.
Yeah. Oh, that's it?
Yeah, we're doing a 30-minute.
Isn't that a damn shame?
What are they, like 6 songs? You come all the way to L.A.
I know.
It's hilarious.
It's a joke.
Who should we blame? Who should we blame for this? You can blame Jason Flom.
Oh, Jason Flom? Is he your manager?
No. But we need somebody needs to take the fall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's the head of the Lava Republic.
Oh, I know
Which
him,
this
actually.
Wasn't his call, by the way. It's just...
What? Didn't he used to work at Interscope?
Atlantic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, absolutely, crazy, man. That's class. Now, only 6 songs tomorrow? It's like a press show, right? Is that what's going on?
Pretty much.
Something like that. A little bit of a split between what we showcase because of the guest list and then the people who really wanted to come out and see us.
And what are you showcasing for? You already got a record deal just to get the vibe going?
Yeah, I think a lot of the people here in LA who work, who want to come see us, so we had to make it.
At this point, it's a fairly big team, so it has to be broken up into many chunks.
And so we can tell.
All right,
really
showcase. We can't fit them all in one room, you know?
Right, yeah, you know, get people excited about it.
Yeah, that's a good idea, man. I mean, you know, you got to have a game plan because it's starting to snowball. You guys are starting to hit all over the place. Somebody was like, people tweet at me all the time, you know, because I always tweet about the band and they're like, oh, they're playing them up here. And I'm like, holy shit, you guys are actually getting radio play. You guys track that, like where you're getting radio play?
No.
I love it. You guys are like old school rock, like, nah. You know what I mean? I would never track that when I was in a band, but now it seems like business, like, okay, we got to surround that area twice. That's where we're getting heavy airplay, you know?
Yeah, then it turns into politics.
And then oversaturation. Then
you start getting mad. Why aren't they playing me over here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Now, you guys, are you going to do any festivals all summer?
Yeah, we just did a couple festivals. We just did
quite a
Summerfest in Milwaukee and Cherry Fest in Traverse City, Michigan. Rib Fest,
Chicago.
Yeah.
We did River Bend Festival in Chattanooga.
Nice.
Those were big crowds.
And who were the headliners on that? Like big headliners? Like they were big festivals?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, there was Shinedown twice.
Shinedown?
3 times.
They're still around?
And yeah, it was fun. We actually opened for them way back in February. And that was the biggest crowd we played to that time, which was Monroe 20 in Grand Rapids. And then once again, they brought us with them to Summerfest, and that was again the biggest crowd.
Wow. That's what I said. They're cool. You know what would be a fucking great tour for you guys? Would be Magpie Salute, the Black Crowes guys. That would be a smoking fucking tour for you guys because immediately the audience would get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then those are the type of people that are going to be like, who is that opener? And go home and buy the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Or go see you again. You know, so maybe I'll talk to them and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Good friends of mine, man. I'm telling you, that would be a smoking opening tour.
That would be fantastic.
And those guys are playing like 2-3 nights everywhere. Like, you know, two at the Fillmore, you know, three nights here, whatever. Pretty fucking, you know.
That's the way to go.
And that would be a great, you know, that's a great rock crowd. What is a dream headliner for you guys to open for?
Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. If you could just get 40 of his fans, right? You'd win. Like, we got 40 Bieberettes or whatever they're called.
Whatever they're called.
Yeah, what are they called? Parrot heads?
Skinheads.
Well, yeah.
Bieberitis.
Joke about that, wasn't
there? He came to one of my shows once. I Instagrammed the photo up. Right? And the fucking, I think it broke my Instagram. Just, but not one of his fans came to see me. You'd think they'd be like, why did he go see him? I want to go. Not that they would like it, because it's pretty fucking radical. You know what I mean? They probably couldn't get in. That was the problem.
I saw him Friday night.
You did? Where?
At a 7-Eleven.
Oh, did he have his shirt off?
I
saw that picture. He had his shirt off, and
on
it said
Instagram.
I
stood next to him in line.
You were there. What? How long you been in town?
I got in about 3-4 days ago.
Oh wow! And what have you been doing? Press?
Just hanging out. Fuck. Going to the beach.
Strange world we live in, isn't it?
Yeah. And when did you guys get in?
What, here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, an hour ago? We just got here at the Comedy Store. I'm just shooting.
No, I know. You know what I mean.
No, last night, most of us, Daniel has been here for a few days. Jake and I were leaving from Palm Springs, and Sam's coming back from, Detroit out of that airport.
I'd rather just live in a log cabin in the middle of the woods.
Me too, really.
Really?
I think Northern California, like, very would be interesting.
So if you make a shitload of money, where do you end up living? In NorCal?
Northern California, yeah, somewhere.
Like up in the Redwoods?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Are you guys like into the hippie thing? Like I was born in Yosemite, man. That's where I'm from.
Yeah.
And there is something about that, right? Where you're in this the juxtapose of being in the lunacy of a rock band and then just being in a log cabin.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it is for us.
We're all Midwesterners, and that's kind of what
we all grew up in the country. So I mean, that's all what we're used to. So that's kind of where we like to centralize.
We're like avid campers too. Whenever we get
are you?
Yeah. Whenever we get a chance to.
You guys camp
all the time.
No shit. That's from Yosemite, and I hate camping. I can't stand camping, but I love going there. But I'm like, all right, let's go to the Awana Inn, like the best hotel. You guys camp?
Yeah, and hike, man. All the outdoor stuff.
Have you ever been to Yosemite?
No.
Oh, you guys should go. The best hiking in the planet.
Incredible.
Hike up Half Dome. Oh my God.
You're really solid.
That's on the bucket list,
You can't disappoint us on this one.
Wow, man. You guys are camping. Now, do you go camping together and bring acoustics and shit?
Sometimes, it's like it's broken up, you know? I mean, there's always different groups that you can find that'll really want to go. It's like, well, I'm going to go. You can come or you don't have to.
We always bring our acoustics anyway, though. So.
But we'll do that on the road as well sometimes.
You'll camp on the road?
Yeah.
Instead of stay at a hotel. Yeah.
Because we get to go to all these beautiful places and we don't really get a chance to delve into it. We end up having to go to a hotel, sleep in a hotel really quickly. So it's a nice opportunity.
That's rad, just a band camping. Yeah. Like, I never even thought about that. Like, you know, when I was out touring, like, hey, while we're touring, let's just camp in, like, Yellowstone.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
get some fucking Lyme disease from these ticks in the Caribbean.
That'll be convenient when we're on the road, yeah.
You guys do an acoustic set at all during your show?
We will.
Yep.
For our headlining tour. Yeah.
We've done that for a long time, and now it's just sort of like it's one place to the next, and it's zoop, 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 zoop.
Different approach. Now I wouldn't say different, but unique approach to the acoustic stuff. As far as we've sculpted ourselves electrically, I think we've equally done that from an acoustic angle, from an acoustic perspective. Yeah. So it's equally is interesting, but we hope at some point everybody can hear the acoustic segment.
You gotta see it, folks. You just gotta.
It's like some of the most beautiful stuff, you know.
You know what's weird? It's like you actually have some kind of weird accent.
Like really? The other guys don't. Oh. I'm saying like a talking. It's almost like you're from another
planet. Yeah, yeah. You got it. He is. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Damn.
You're like Frontman Universe. You're from the Frontman Universe. He dropped down. And you're like, yeah, man. You know how it is, brother.
Here
you
go. They didn't want him there.
He doesn't actually talk like that unless he gets into a mic.
Talking like this. Hey, man, how you doing?
You're listening to Late Night.
We go camping.
Hey,
shit, you know?
We go camping. Yeah, yeah.
So cool.
Show, man.
That's hilarious.
When the show just turns into us doing voices.
Yeah, sometimes I go, all right, let's hear you do an impression of someone. Can you do a...
Gilbert Gottfried.
Can you do that?
I maybe kind of... That depends, man. Oh, that's like one of those things you have to be warmed up to do.
Come on. I thought you didn't warm up.
Shit. I don't know. It's like you just scream and that's a warm up.
Holy fuck, is that wrong? That's not... He talks more like that, so it's kind of... Whoa, you know, like
that was good.
But holy hell,
who can you do? Can you do anyone?
He can do Mickey Mouse, I think.
No, I can't.
You know, it'd be great. Is tomorrow at your showcase, in between each song, go, that was a fucking great song. You just, and they don't know you're only Gilbert Gottfried, but then you're like, Black Smoke Rising. Yeah. Oh my God, motherfucker.
Wasn't that a good song, folks?
Dude, people would be like, what the fuck is up with the singer, man? Like,
it's how he talks.
Jesus, yeah, what was that line that Carrie used at the MTV?
He goes up there, he goes, there's a lot of nice pussy out there tonight.
Who said that?
That was Jim Carrey at the MTV Awards or something. Jim Carrey dressed up like...
Morrison.
Jim Morrison, he goes up there. And he's doing the whole shtick, man. It was just genius.
Wow.
And he goes, the first thing he says, and he gets up there, he goes, thank you. There's a lot of nice pussy out there tonight. Everybody loses their shit, and that's all they have to do.
It's Kurt Cobain's girlfriend. What was her name?
Oh, Courtney Love.
Yeah. He brought Courtney Love with him. And she was playing into the shtick. It was brilliant.
When was this?
I don't know. It was
years ago. It's like on MTV on YouTube.
Yeah, I must. Yeah, somebody showed me a video on YouTube. It must have been. Oh God, no, I can't even peg it. Maybe early 2000s.
YouTube's awesome, right? You ever watch? You know what my new thing now is? Watching tribute bands. Just for fucking comedy. Just for comedy. There's always like two of the dudes that look pretty fucking close. And then they'll have the one guy that doesn't look nothing. They're like, well, we got to get Jim from Home Depot on bass because I guess he'll be Cliff Burton. You know what I mean? Because they can't find a guy that looks as cool as Cliff Burton, you know? Lately, it's been so bad that there's only like one guy that looks like the dude. You know what I mean? That's how bad it is. Yeah,
that's how it goes in those scenarios sometimes. It's like, ooh, okay.
You know? We wanted Gilbert Gottfried as our lead, but we had to pick up Josh and just...
Yeah, Josh Gilbert Gottfried would have been a really good front man for
Hell yeah, man, Gilbert Gottfried.
One of these days we might get together and he can, I mean, really, you know.
I would never want to tour with him, though.
No, that'd be a good collaboration, though.
How would that even
I went out on tour with Alice in Chains last summer.
Neat, those guys are cool.
I opened for him, and it was pretty rad. It was hard and good at the same time. But I think, what do you guys think about that as outside the box stuff? A comic opening for a band, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of like burnt. You know, here's three bands, and you know, and everybody's like, oh, that format, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like a comic opening for a band's kind of cool. Like 70s, they did it like crazy.
Yeah.
You know? So there you go. I guess I'll open for you guys.
Yeah.
Loosen the crowd up a little bit.
Fuck yeah. I'll be out there like, I'll be like, there, you fucking guys don't know rock. What is the audience? Is it when you're headlining, is it old people like that are in the classic rock, or what is it?
It's an amazing mix of old people, you know. It's the demographic goes from kids the age of 7-8 all the way up to people in their
pretty much people that are on their deathbed.
It's actually one
it's
of
cool.
Videos.
You can look at it. You can look out in the audience, and there are all of these different people from different walks of life and different stages.
It is literally one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
That is bizarre. Like 7 and 8 year olds, you know.
I mean, right.
Because that's kind of some hope
that they're Thank like, God for that. I want to play in a band. Yeah. These guys are only 2 years older than me, you know.
That's the best thing.
I think I could do it, you know what I
That's
mean?
That's the best thing in the world when you can see this kid. These kids being inspired by us, you know.
Yeah, hell
and
yeah.
And saying that they play drums or whatever, I think that's the coolest thing in the world.
That is absolutely cool. I mean, because, you know, I was just reading this big thing about how guitars, Fender and Gibson, they are fucking hurting. And
I read this big
Yeah, you read that same thing? How crazy was that article? It was basically like the amount of guitars sold from now to like 10 years ago is a half.
Are they in $1 billion worth of debt? Or
and guitar centers like fucking, you know, tanking up. And so it's interesting to think about that. What they were saying is most guitars are sold to people that are like, you know, rich 50-year-olds and stuff. They go, oh, still living the dream. I got two Les Pauls. I got the Eddie Van Halen 5150 guitar. And the kids are like, I got the turntable, two turntables and a microphone. You know what I mean? But that's a wild thing. So the more and more that young people play music and it's not cheesy music and there's instruments in their hand, it's a win.
That's the interesting thing. I don't think that for us, it was the people that had been, you know, inspired us to pick up instruments and play. You know, those guitar heroes that we all looked up to, and those bass heroes, and those singer heroes, and the drummer heroes. And I don't think that we've got those anymore. I think they're very scarce anyway. And
yeah, well, that's what they were saying. There was no guitar heroes anymore.
Right, and if someday I can inspire one person to pick up a guitar and play it, I mean, that's all what it's about, you know?
Yeah.
And seeing those kids out there, like, so hopefully they can pick up those instruments and play something themselves for real.
I'm the same way. I started comedy at 44, and I love when people come up and they go, yo, man, you inspired me. Like, I was at this dead-end job, and I always wanted to fucking do such whatever it is, not comedy, but art or you know, build motorcycles or something other than the 9-to-5 bullshit, you know what I mean? Because that is just, even if you didn't play music, let's say 10 years down the road you didn't play music, what would you do?
Make movies.
What's that?
Make movies.
Make movies, yeah.
So that's got to be like the hardest job, like one of the hardest jobs being a comedian. That's got to be really tough. The way the people talk
it's brutal and it's great at the same time. One thing is if you played in a band 25 years like I did, you realize, not like you guys are brothers and stuff like that, but you realize maybe your dream and your drive and your work ethic is way stronger than one or two. If you just have one or two weak links in your band, if you have one weak link in the band, it's fucking over. Right. I don't care what anybody says. I never see a band that actually makes it on a large scale and they go, well, we've been carrying this guy the whole time. Yeah. It just doesn't happen. They get weeded out because it's too much fucking work. Right. And that's what's great about comedy. Yeah. If I have this drive and work ethic, I'm 51 years old now. I'm out working every night. I've been on the road. I'm getting bigger and bigger. This show right here is fucking massive. But that's all work ethic and drive.
Every single one of them.
You know, if anyone in your band... At one point, what if you just said, you know what? I don't really want to play rock. I did it for you guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Would you just step down? Would you step down and say that and you guys keep rolling? Or would that be it?
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell we'd do. I think it'd be kind of like, all right, that's probably it. I think every person in this group is integral for making that sound.
That's awesome. Yes, that's awesome.
That would be the biggest issue, is that if there wasn't one of these pieces to this puzzle that has been created, I don't think that it wouldn't sound like it does, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that too. Yeah. I mean, that's just with any great band, take someone out and you're like, you know what I mean? I mean, we've whittled down to one guy in AC/DC. You know what I mean? There's only one left.
Yeah.
That's kind of strange, you know, to think. Really. And each time you put a new guy in, especially drummer, if you go a new drummer, the band completely changes immediately.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, other than the singer, of course, you know. But you get a different drummer and you're like, oh, it feels different, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the two eras of GNR, from Adler to, you know, Matt Sorum. Totally different groove and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into it. We're going tomorrow night, Viper Room. I'm going to that.
Oh, All right.
Cannot
right
fucking on. Wait.
So are we.
Yeah, you are. And then you're going out on a headlining tour?
Yep.
Yeah.
When does that start? August?
August 15th.
In the States?
Yes. Columbus is the first step.
Are you coming back to L.A.?
Not for that tour, no. We'll be back in L.A. and later in the year.
In the fall.
In the fall. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. What, headlining or opening for someone?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Right. And then you
I
go.
I don't know what I had for breakfast.
And then, and then you go to Europe when?
September.
September. Yeah. And what, a couple weeks? How long?
That's going to be in another month, I believe.
No, that's going to be like a week run.
How about a new video? New video? What's the third song called? It's my favorite one on there. Like, everybody's playing the single
acoustic?
And Black Smoke Rising.
Was it an acoustic
Safari,
song?
Is it?
The third one on the
Flower
EP.
Power. Flower Power.
Yeah, yeah, that's the fucking tune.
Yeah.
I should have been an A&R guy, because I can pick them. I'm like, that's going to be the one that's going to make the girls go, oh, I like the band.
Or the boys, or the boys.
Well, you gotta...
Black Smoke and Flower Power are my two favorites. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Black Smoke really felt like Heart to me. I loved it, because I love early Heart, and I think that they don't get enough credit, you know. But when you throw on that Dreamboat Annie record, it's fucking powerful. And that Howard Leese on guitar, and then of course Nancy crushing on guitar. Good that God, band
yeah. Heart is incredible.
Yeah. They're incredible.
I forgot, Danny sent me a video not too long ago and it blew my mind. It was incredible. It was like one of those it was a live video of Crazy on You.
I mean, they were so authentic, but massive songs. Yeah. Massive songs, man. It's fucking great. Okay, thanks for doing it. And you guys got a Twitter, right?
We do.
Yeah.
Now, who does the Twitter?
Not me.
Who does the... Daniel, is that you?
No,
you,
not
it's,
me.
It's Danny.
Sam, do you...
I think that's Daniel.
I think Daniel does.
That's awesome, man.
Guess what, guys? I now do the Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you got an Instagram? You guys got an Instagram?
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
We've got a Facebook and then, as well, I believe.
Hopefully. And okay, get this goddamn fucking EP on iTunes. Everybody that listens to the show already has it. I mean, it's amazing. Every day I get an email. Thank you for turning me on to this band.
Oh, you right on, mean? Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you guys owe me. You know, pretty much. No. But I'm going tomorrow night. I can't wait. And when you get bigger, we'll have you back on the show again. And it'll be great to see you guys progress like I did with Rival Sons. Every year I'd interview them again. And here we are, from the van to the tour bus to the fucking giant festivals. I watched the whole thing and it was all hard work. And that's all you got to do. You know, get out there and fucking pound on doors.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
What are you guys going to do tonight?
You know,
on the day sheet it says to be
you want
to
see some comedy?
I think it's just to be disruptive. I think
you guys want to see some comedy later, let me know. I'm doing comedy at 10.
Beautiful.
I'll hook you guys up. Ooh. All you guys,
how do you feel before you go on? Is it a nervousness, or at this point are you
Let's put it this way. I've been doing comedy for 7.5 years. I've done over 3,500 shows. So
so you're like, all right, none of that.
Yeah, I go on and I like the danger. I don't even I don't pick what I'm gonna do or whatever. I step on and let's see where this goes. And either it eats dicks or it's fucking funny as fuck.
Genius. I like that. I like that's a good work ethic.
I take it in the Grateful Dead era of like, it's almost jamming to me. Like, let's jam. Exactly. Let's jam these jokes and see where they go.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, do a fucking ID. It's called Let the Dean Del Rey's Let There Be Talk. You guys are listening to. Say that like an idea.
Say it.
Ready?
Say it.
Here we go.
Wait, you're going to say it one more time.
Say, well, I didn't catch that.
Let There Be Talk. Dean Del Rey's Let There Be Talk.
Dean Del Rey's Let There Be Talk.
See, Del Rey is trying for me to...
Del Rey!
See, I just...
Dean Del Rey.
You guys suck!
What do you want?
Fuck it, don't worry about it.
You're listening to Dean Del Rey's Let There Be Talk?
Yeah.
You're listening to Dean Del Rey's Let There Be Talk.
This episode's brought to you by my fantastic sponsor, El Cajon Harley Davidson. It's summertime. Get yourself a motorcycle. Look no further than Southern California's El Cajon Harley Davidson. They got all kinds of great things going on. Go see them right now. These guys can hook you up with your two-wheel dream machine. Yes, get it now. You can get financed. You can pay cash. You can, I don't know, trade some stuff in. Maybe you got an automobile and an old motorcycle. They do trade-ins.
all kinds of ways you can get yourself two wheels. You think it's not happening or possible? I beg to differ, man. I got one. You can get one. Go in there and talk to my boy, Greg Riley. Get yourself a brand new or pre-owned Harley Davidson at El Cajon Harley Davidson. Right now, first Saturday of every month, April through August, it's bikes, bands, and bikinis. Yeah, Saturday, first Saturday, free lunch, barbecue, and all kinds of cool people hanging. Go see that. And go in and get your bike serviced, maybe, or just a test ride, whatever you want to do. El Cajon Harley is your fantastic motorcycle spot. Hit them on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. They are 621 El Cajon Boulevard, El Cajon, California. Give them a ring, 619-444-1123. Tell them I sent you, El Cajon Harley. Also, since it is a music episode, the fantastic Earthquaker devices. Yes, stomp boxes are what you need to sound cool in a band. And don't get any stomp box because they all fall apart and break. Don't get those cheap ones. Get them while you can. Made in America. That's right. One of the last few made in American companies. See? Harley Davidson and El Cajon Harley. All made in America. Anyway, get a stomp box. Hit up El Cajon Harley. I'm all over the fucking board. Hey, I love these ads. I'm just like, hey. Hey, this is like, what are those called? Like a collab. Yeah, this is an El Cajon stomp box. An El Cajon Earthquaker device stomp box collab. That'd be hilarious. That's what Earthquaker should do is make a fucking motorcycle pedal. You just hit it and your guitar just sounds like a fucking dirt bike. Like, bah, bah, bah. Fucking, I am out of my mind doing these ads. Here it is, Earthquaker Devices, located in Akron, Ohio. Handmade boutique pedals. Get yourself a fine, fine stomp box. You want to sound fucking cool? You want quality? Yes, Earthquaker is your spot, man. Hit them up on Twitter and Instagram. They got all kinds of cool demos going on. You can hear all their different pedals. They got a zillion pedals, and they're all fucking cool. There it is. Those are my sponsors, and I love all you guys for tuning in. Thank you, and see you next week.